So as we were saying, welcome back. It's the Jordan Ritz Show here on a Friday night, Saturday morning. Ready to go. And what a jam-packed show we have. So many things going on. I'll sort of run down the list as we move along. But right now, I can tell you, it is 73 degrees and mild. Hello, Vanessa. And we're here at 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Don't forget to join me on Facebook. And you can get there by going to Facebook, Jordan Ritz Show, and also jordanrich.com. Well, every once in a while when we can talk about our own family here, it's great fun for me. And we've done so many retrospectives over the years, but here's a great one that you'll want to check up on. It's called The Dave Maynard Spin. It is an actual book by Dave Maynard, as told to my guest in studio, Susan Franks. And what a story about how this all came together. And if you're a fan of Dave Maynard, as so many of you are, and we just lost him this year, then you'll want to key in on some of these great stories. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Well, welcome back, because you're from Florida part of the time, or much of the time now, right?
I live there full-time now.
Okay, but you're a New Englander at heart.
Yes.
Okay. I imagine you were a Dave Maynard fan.
Absolutely. I listened to him ever since I was like 4 years
mm-hmm.
old.
And you actually met him at some point, right?
Yes.
Down in beautiful Florida.
Yes.
Now, before we get to the book, what were you doing in Florida that prompted you to meet this guy?
Well, I met him, the first time I met him, I went to the community pool. And I had planned on meeting two other ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I reserved two chaises, and then I sat on a third next to a nice-looking older gentleman. And I didn't... you know, think much about it. And then all of a sudden, my girlfriend showed up, but she had two other guests mm-hmm. with her. And all of a sudden, I realized I didn't have enough chaises, and so did David. He was sitting next to me.
Did you realize it was him?
No, I didn't. First? And I looked. What happened was he said, oh, my goodness, I can move over a chaise to make room for your friends. He noticed right away. And so I turned and I looked at him and I said, who are you? You're famous. and he started smiling at me. And first he tried to make me guess and he was driving me crazy. And so finally he said, I'm Dave Maynard. And I went bonkers. I called my parents when I got home. I called my kids. I called my sisters. I called everybody I knew because I was so excited that Dave Maynard lived somewhere in my neighborhood.
And it's appropriate, I guess, that it was by the pool because he was a big swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Swam a lot. In fact, he raised money over the years for charity with swimathons and so forth.
He did so many things
yeah.
to raise money.
So you meet Dave Maynard, and
yeah.
that's kind of fun. And then one thing leads to another, and I'm holding in my hand the Dave Maynard Spin, and it's really fun. Stories about the old days and about stars and about celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
How did the book come about?
Well, what happened was about 6 months later, I decided to run for state senate, silly me, down in Florida.
Silly you, yes.
But I had 23 years of experience in New Hampshire and had been very positive. So I thought, well, why not, you know, give some of that New England know-how to the Florida legislature? And so I was going door-to-door collecting signatures to get my name on the ballot in my neighborhood. And so I was just going up to houses that had registered voters. I really wasn't looking at who lived where. And I rang the doorbell and David answered. And he immediately asked me to come in. It was like about 93 degrees, hot and humid.
Hmm.
And he said, oh, please sit down. I'll get you a cold drink. And so I sat down and he started telling me stories. And I was like, just enamored, totally enamored. I didn't want to leave. You're supposed to take like 3 minutes per household.
Yes.
45 minutes later, I had to pull myself away. And then subsequently, I lost the election. It took me about 3 days of licking my wounds. And after 3 days, I turned to my husband and said, you know what I'd like to do? And he said, what? And I said, I'd like to write down Dave Maynard's stories. I think they're so funny, at least the ones I'd heard. And I thought, wouldn't this be a wonderful thing to save? Because they were not only hysterical, they were historical.
And if I may jump in here with Susan Franks, spelled S-U-Z-A-N, mm-hmm. Franks, who wrote the book with Dave Maynard, called The Dave Maynard Spin. you were thinking originally, you were telling me that this would be a wonderful keepsake for his family, mm-hmm. or even for the immediate BZ family. You didn't think at the time that this would turn into a book that you're now selling and selling well because people up here in New England particularly want to read it. Mm-hmm. So how did that morph into what it's become?
Well, what happened was, you know, we used to meet at least once a week for about 3 hours and sometimes twice a week. And it just kept growing and growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And at about 43,000 words, you know, it finally occurred to me, geez, this thing's turning into a novel. And I said to Dave, I said, gee, what do you think? And he said, well, yeah, you're right. It's getting pretty big. And I said, do you want to publish it? And he said, yes, he did. He had already published 3 cookbooks, so he knew what was involved, and he wanted it published. So that's how it came about.
In the book that we're talking about, and again, folks, if you're familiar with WBZ, and of course you are, Dave Maynard is one of the stalwarts. He's one of the guys on the front of the building in a very special bronze-dedicated Hall of Fame picture. He's also won numerous awards, but he was here for so many years. And when you think about the, quote, spirit of New England, right, mm-hmm. And Maynard in the morning and all that kind of stuff. So, but the book is really comprised of his recollections of celebrity run-ins and interesting stories, where he was during the blizzard of 78 and all these fun things. And it's really entertaining. And what's been the reaction so far from readers and
Oh, very positive. Before I actually sent it off to a publisher, I had been trying to edit it myself, you know, catch typos and things like that. And I had a couple of friends of mine that didn't actually know Dave. They weren't from New England. And I asked them to read the book, and both of them said they couldn't put it down. So I figured it was as good as I thought it was. I thought it was wonderful.
The publisher is Rostrum Publishing, Joe Ross. Good guy up there in New Hampshire doing a nice job with books like this, and we'll tell people how they can get a copy. And we'll take some calls a bit later, but let's talk about some of these. What were some of the first stories? Because, I mean, you walk in on a hot day, you sit down. What does he start with? What's his opener?
His opener was the Warren Beatty story.
All right, this is a good one because all of us have images of Warren Beatty, the untouchable star. What happened?
Well, what happened was he had been promoting Warren. At that time, oftentimes actors, when they were promoting a movie, not only did television, but they did radio to promote the movie. So he had been plugging that Warren Beatty was coming on his show all week and, you know, building up the anticipation of this very handsome, debonair, suave man coming in mm-hmm. to be on his show. And earlier in the you know, before he left for work, his children said, "Oh, Warren Beatty, Warren Beatty, are you going to see Warren Beatty today?" And and he said, "Yes." and they said, "Well, do you think you get us an autograph?" And he said, "I'll try." So he got to work here at the station. And he was told early on that it turns out that Warren Beatty was running late and that he was not going to be able to come on the radio side. He was going to go on the television side and do the TV interview, but it wasn't going to come on Dave's show. So he got to work, as I said, and he realized that Warren Beatty was supposed to be at the station. So he really wanted to see him and you know, couldn't interview him, but wanted at least to see him. And so he had a plan, and his plan was that he had the MacArthur Park record that runs for 7 minutes and I think 37 seconds.
Where would we DJs be without those long cuts? Hey Jude, MacArthur Park and American Pie, but go ahead.
All right. And so what he did was he knew a way to get from the radio station to the television station, and it was cutting through back hallways,
right,
and all sorts,
right,
of things.
Same building, but
but they were both in the same building,
right,
at the time. So what happened was he put on the record and he's tearing down the hallways and cutting through and trying to get to the television studio where Warren Beatty's supposed to be, and he barges in and there's no Warren Beatty. So he says, "Where's Warren Beatty?" And they said, "Oh, he's in the men's room." So he takes off the men's room and he ran down the hallway, went into the men's room, and there's Warren Beatty. He's standing in front of a urinal. Now, how it was set up is the urinals were on one wall, and then exactly on the opposite wall were the sinks. The sinks.
That, by the way, oftentimes that's the setup.
All right. Well,
as an expert.
I've never been in a men's room, so I wouldn't know.
I'm glad, Doug, that you told me that. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So what he did was he walked in, and he sidled up on one of the sinks that were directly in back of Warren Beatty. And he started humming, "Unforgettable, that's what you are." And Warren Beatty turns around and says, "What the hell are you doing?" Mm. And Dave says, "Well, I promised my kids that I'd see you today, but you canceled out of my show. So what I did was try to find you,
yeah.
And now I have, and boy, I can tell them, did I see Warren Beatty?"
And he did. Now, didn't Warren come in and do a little bit of the show with him or not?
No, he didn't. But about a couple of weeks later, mm-hmm. Shirley MacLaine, Warren Beatty's sister, was on Dave's show. She was promoting one of her movies. And so Dave told Shirley the story. And she said, "Oh, I left something out. I'm sorry." But because Warren Beatty told him. And then when he told the story to Shirley, she said, "You are a six." So he said, "You people are all alike."
We're talking with Susan Franks, who ended up talking with and spending a lot of time with Dave Maynard. Dave passed away a short time ago, but he was able to complete with Susan, in a sense, a memoir about a lot of his experiences and travels. I say travels because he was all over. He has that trip to Africa, and he was all over the place. In fact, I'm going to Alaska. Would you like to come? Seriously.
Great.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll talk about that later. But we read about community auditions and all the things he did on TV and radio. Mm-hmm. The commercials, which were legendary, right? The Marvin Hagler commercial and and some of the other ones.
The piece of cake commercials.
Well, those were huge. Those I remember those were back in the early 80s, I guess, and they were just incredibly popular. And prior to that, he was doing the show that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing the all-night show for a while. How many years was he actually here? He was here from 50...
It was 42 years. 42. He had a 48-year career in mm-hmm. radio. He worked 3 years at WHIL, and then he worked at for another 3 years at WORL, which eventually turned into MEX.
Right, right.
And then he came here.
And his career, was running on a parallel line with, say, Gary LaPierre, Gil Sandos, although they started a little bit later.
Yeah.
And Dave was part of a roster of DJs who were legendary. But the book really goes into a lot of his memories of exciting events and charity events and celebrity events and so forth. So we'll take a short break. We'll come back and talk further with Susan Franks. The book is called The Dave Maynard Spin. Before we go to break, what's the best way for people to get a copy of this thing? Because I know a lot of my listeners were fans of his.
Well, you can contact rostrumpublishing.com.
R-O-S-S-T-R-U-M
.com. Or you can obtain the book at any fine bookstore.
Any fine bookstore. Mm-hmm. Well, they're all fine if they're mm-hmm. carrying the book. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Jordan here, and we'll take your calls if you want to talk about Dave Maynard memories when we return.
Got something on your mind? Call 617-254-1030. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Okay, we're back, dear friends. Welcome. And we are talking about one of the folks who's in the Hall of Fame here at WBZ, Dave Maynard, 42 years and counting. I say that because there's a new book called The Dave Maynard Spin, and there's some record. And actually, on the cover of the picture of Dave is an LP, a 45, and a CD. That's covering all the generations, isn't it, author?
Yeah.
Susan Franks. Susan with a Z, S-U-Z-A-N Franks. And we were just talking about how storytellers, particularly in the days when he came up and began a radio career, that was what you had to do to be a radio personality. You had to be able to tell a story. I know These days, everything's so fast and quick and texted. But in those days, you would envelop the audience on the radio or in your living room with a story. So that was a gift that he and many others from that era seemed to have.
Well, I've heard it over and over again when we've gone to different libraries and people have come to listen to the presentation I give on the book. They always talk about how David felt like part of the family. Everyone that we speak to is always talking about how he was, everyone had to be quiet at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings because Dave Maynard was on TV and they wanted to watch Community Auditions. That show in itself was the number one rated show the entire time it was on the air for 25 years.
I took it down to the studio, which is now the news set for Channel 4. Beautiful, multi-million dollar Star Trek looking set.
It's gorgeous.
But that's where Community Auditions was. And I remember distinctly, I've taken people on tours there for 16 years. I remember distinctly saying, well, there's a couple of batons on the floor. Look out where you walk. But that was a huge hit. And I guess there were a couple of people over the years who made it to the big time somewhat, right?
Yes.
Scott Grimes.
Scotty Grimes. Well, he's Scott Grimes now, right. But he was Scotty then.
But I remember so many singers and baton twirlers and dancers and all kinds of man, and he made that song "Star of the Day" his song. So, of course, there was a host before him, but he took over, and he's the one that people remember.
He did it for 25 years.
So let's talk about some of the people in the book. Julia Child, who was a Boston legend, but also a worldwide legend.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me anything about her with him.
Well, Julia actually and Dave were very close friends, and they used to cook together. And in fact, he cooked on television with her on the Robin.
Oh, on Evening Magazine. Probably.
On Evening
Robin Young.
Robin Young, and they had a great time together. And he has some very very funny stories in there. But one of the things that's sort of intriguing is that he knew her very very well, and she had a way about her, and her way was that if you talked to her for 15 minutes, you felt like you had known her for 15 years. So she had a very disarming type of personality. And just recently, perhaps in the last 8 months, there was a book that came out that had the woman, and we give her credit in the book, but talked about how she had done lots and lots of research for 3 years and determined that Julia Child was not a spy.
Oh, really?
And yes, and Dave gave her credit for her all her hard work, and then he completely disagreed.
Well, hey, maybe that's the secret to being a good spy. People think you're not a spy, right?
Exactly.
Right. I remember, and there's that great picture of her in this book of her and her husband, was it?
Yes.
In a rather interesting pose in the bathtub?
Well, they had gone through the McCarthy era, interrogation by Congress. And what happened was they were pretty worn out after that humiliating experience, especially for her husband. And so they went off to Germany on a trip. And one of the things that they did was they had a photographer come in and take a photograph of her and her husband in a bubble bath. And with a little caption above it that said, "Wish you were here." And it was sent on Valentine's Day. And it was sent to J. Edgar Hoover.
That's pretty good. And these are the kind of things that you don't hear about every day.
Exactly.
That's why it's great to do. Mm-hmm. So you were sitting with Dave, and these stories would just come out. And did you tape him or did you write them down?
Well, we tried to. And I don't know if your listeners know, but he had Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more difficult for him to do a taping, even though I would have loved to have a tape of the whole book. That would have been wonderful for the family. But we couldn't do it that way. So I basically hand wrote everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if he needed it repeated back, then I had it right there written down and wasn't having to fool around with a tape recorder and go back and forth and that kind of thing.
So you became a memoirist, in a sense, something that you had never done before.
No,
but
I had never
sort
done
of
anything
flowed.
Like
it was the perfect scenario to do this.
Yeah, Pat Maynard's, that's Dave's wife.
Yes.
One of her sisters said, Susan, after we had finished, she said, why did you think you could do this? And I looked at her and I said, I never even considered that I couldn't do it. I just figured, how hard could this be? And of course, it was a thrill.
We're going to come back after this bottom hour news break, have much more time to the top, and we'll take phone calls from listeners who want to just reflect on Dave Maynard. And the number here is 617-254-1030 or 888-929-1030. The book, The Dave Maynard Spin, by Dave Maynard, is told to Susan Franks, who's here with me, and some other great stories coming up. I love his homage to Danny Kaye, who's my favorite, too. Mm-hmm. And he got a chance to hobnob with some of the greats in music, Nat King Cole and Louis Armstrong. We'll come back with much more.
Newsflash. Jordan Rich pulls all-nighters all year long because he wants to. Thanks for tuning in and joining the Jordan Rich Show. Call 617-254-1030.
We are back, and we're talking about Dave Maynard, a name synonymous with WBZ for sure. And the book is called The Dave Maynard Spin by Dave, told to Susan Franks. And if you missed our first segment, she explained how it all happened. It's a great story in itself. It's in the book. The book is available through Rostrum Publishing, and that's up in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's available in many fine bookstores. We'll tell you more about the publishing company, and you can order it directly from them. But Susan's here with me, and we're going to go right back to some phone calls here in just a second. I just wanted to touch base on a few issues, and some of them involve the celebrities, and I'll just mention a few. I mentioned Danny Kaye earlier. Where was this? Jimmy Stewart's here, Greer mm-hmm. Garson. I mean, so many of these big stars. Stephen Grappelli. I'm a huge Stephen Grappelli fan mm-hmm. myself. We play some of his music here. Dave was obviously more of a Renaissance man. He liked, even though he played rock and roll, he liked jazz and the big bands and people like Grappelli from the old Hot Club of France.
Mm-hmm. Well, he really loved his music. In fact, he had a CD played for me because I wasn't familiar with him. And then he talked about seeing him at the club and in Boston and what he actually got to see him 3 times. And he said it was just an amazing talent. He was the greatest violinist he had ever heard in, or believed he was the greatest in the world.
I would put him up there with some of the all-time greats.
And one night, he actually took a break and came out and said, would you like me to play a little piano for you? And then literally, as Dave described it, he started playing and he was just in a trance to the point where he was the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, how do you get him to stop? Because he was literally in a trance. And finally, Stefan, as he was playing the piano, put his finger up for a second, and he called over one of his compatriots, and he said, "What am I playing?" Because he was just lost in the music, and eventually he was able to, you know, wrap up his session. But the man was 90 years old when he was doing this.
Right.
He was just phenomenal, the talent, and Dave was so fortunate, and so many others of us were, that lived in the Boston area, to be able to hear him.
Let's go to some calls for Susan Franks, The Dave Maynard Spin, and we go to Bob in Plymouth first up. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, fine, thank you. Welcome.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I enjoy Dave Maynard. In 1967, I went into the service, and I'd get up early in the morning. He'd be on the radio at 5 o'clock, and he was my connection back to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to his Shush Boom Blast up at Project Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and it was absolutely delightful to see him in person. I played behind him in the Boston 5 Classic. In the pro-am, ladies pro-am, and Dave, I can't say much. Too many things good about him. He was a legend, and he'll be sorely missed. He left a big hole in the Boston market.
You will definitely want to get a hold of the book at some point because it's really in his words, in his voice that Susan writes. So,
I'll tell you what. He had a. I'm not sure many people realize that he had a eye problem mm-hmm. that was causing some blindness for him. And, you know, Dave was just a perfect gentleman, absolutely crazy and a lot of fun to be with.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. I think you sum up the thoughts of many people.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
He did have, what was it, macular degeneration?
Yes.
And I know he raised, again, he raised money for that, mm-hmm. as well as Children's Hospital, which mm-hmm. is something I do, and we do hit the station, and we owe him a great debt of gratitude for that. And he was involved with something called the Farm Stand, which was mm-hmm. a big deal every year right outside our studios.
Right.
I mean, there were so many sort of events that Dave Maynard was part of.
Well, he started a lot of things,
mm-hmm,
too,
mm-hmm.
like the Phantom Gourmet. He was the one that started the Phantom Gourmet on the radio. And, you know, he was genuinely the kindest man I ever met. He was, what you heard on the radio was exactly the way Dave was at home. When I went there, he just... so much fun to be with, and kind and caring and compassionate, and he always loved helping people. That's a common thread throughout the book.
Right.
And I think a good day for Dave was a day that he could help someone, also give them a chuckle.
Well, that's about as good as it gets when you're in this business, I'll tell you. Let's go to Alan next from Weymouth. Hello, Alan. Welcome. You're on with Susan Franks, the Dave Maynard Spin.
Good morning, Jordan. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Alan. Welcome.
Good morning to the lady who wrote the book.
Good morning.
A deserved person to write a book about. He was among many. I'm sure, Jordan, you know many others at your station and others. They were legends of their own time for what they did and the length of time they did it. They were professionals. They were proficient at what they did. They laid the groundwork for a lot of others and a lot of radio programs that are now defunct. They started them. He started many. He was also a blessing for many charities around New England, not just Boston. He also did another thing, which I was able to go to one of, and I will send you a picture when I can make a copy. I have a book of the history of part of Salem, New Hampshire, including Canobie Lake Park, which opened in 1902. And several disc jockeys over the years did record hops there. He was one of them who did them. I went to a couple of them, and one of the pictures, as per the date under the picture, was one that I was at. When I get a chance, Jordan, I will send you a copy of the picture.
And I'll send a copy of it to you then. I'll forward it to you, Susan.
It is great, and it was among other things that he did, and several other people did it. Community auditions on TV, and so many other great personalities from BZ that did work for charity, Christmases on the Common in mobile studios,
This guy's got it all. He's got it all. Alan's a good fan. Well, Alan, you're right. And in those days, and I don't want to make it seem like it was forever ago, but it was a different time when people on the radio, and not just here, but other stations, would get out there, and we'd be able to mingle with them and touch them. And
that's
nowadays, it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I mean, it's much more sterile than it ever was. Alan, thank you so much for the phone call, Alan. Let's go to Ernie in New Hampshire. It's one of your old neighbors, I'm sure. WBZ 617-254-1030. Ernie, you're on with Susan Franks. The Dave Maynard Spin is the book.
Hi. Hi, Jordan. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
I caught you Wednesday night up in Tingsborough.
All right. I know who you are.
Yeah. You probably recognize my voice.
You're
yes,
on the
I
library
do.
Tour, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Quickly, I guess Alan stole my thunder. I remember him. He used to have the Friday night record hops at the Canobie Lake Ballroom mm-hmm. up in Salem, New Hampshire. And
that's
some of the big
sure.
groups, you know, back in the day were there. He introduced the McCoys and the Outsiders. You probably know who they are, Jordan.
Oh, yes, of course.
You know, and that was a big deal. There'd be like 500 or 800, about 800 people there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he was, you know, he was very approachable. He was a gentleman. You could go up and talk to him, up on the bandstand.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a class act.
We should also add that in the book and in the story, I know enough about Dave Maynard. He, of course, went to Emerson College.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And so he studied the craft. And his early, you know, experiences and so forth led to him being a well-rounded guy.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Louis Armstrong and some of these great performers that he was able to mingle with and get to know and interview early on. And
mm-hmm.
it all kind of made him who he is. So you're in New Hampshire, Ernie, and you met lovely Susan on her tour.
Yes, I did.
There you go.
I wish she would have talked a little longer about him.
Wow. You're a hit. See
Thank
that?
You.
Yeah. One more quick thing, Jordan.
Yes, Ernie.
I remember like when he used to do the morning show and he would do all the snow, the closings.
Right.
You know, he'd do, you know, Waltham, Studbury, and then he'd get to Maynard. And he'd go, you know, he'd go, Maynard.
Yes.
No, you know, he'd emphasize.
Why not, right?
Yeah. He's an icon. He was a class act.
Well, thank you so much for checking in on the air, Ernie. That's really nice.
Thank you, Ernie.
Take care.
Thank you, Susan.
You bet. It's nice to hear from people. And you are doing this library tour throughout New England. You've been to, what, six or so or seven libraries, and you have a couple more coming up. Do you know offhand where you're going to be?
Well, we're going to do the Rotary in Nashua, Rotary West, and then we're going to Draycott Public Library on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, okay. And is that on your website? It is, okay. So we'll give the website for the publishing company, rostrumpublishing.com, R-O-S-S-T-R-U-M, publishing.com. Now, in terms of the family, Pat's his wife, is now his widow, and was she part of this deal? I mean, because she's obviously a very good partner to him, particularly in the last couple of years when he needed her help.
Well, she was wonderful to him. I think they were a wonderful pair. I mean, he was the eternal kid. And she was a former kindergarten teacher.
Perfect.
So that was perfect, and they had a wonderful relationship. And she was always baking me cookies because I'd get so involved I'd forget to eat.
You know? So really?
She'd make sure I went home with a half dozen cookies every time I came over. And she's a really great cookie maker. But in terms of being specifically involved in the book, this actually because Dave was getting on and she had all sorts of things she had to take care of. It was like it gave her a break to be able to go and do her errands and things like that. But sometimes she was around. She said she always knew things were going well because all she could hear us do is laugh.
Dave Maynard, in 42 years of BZ, he had obviously different jobs. He worked afternoons. He worked the overnight shift for a while. And really, when you think about it, his career peaked at a great time when he had already done almost everything. He comes back and does this morning thing. And I remember, because I was on another station at the time in the morning, not necessarily competing with him, but I remember this became a sensation.
Yes.
And this is, again, in the early 80s, and it's AM radio, number one. But I think that the thing that really made it was this commercial campaign.
Yes.
And I know you talk about that with him, and he must have had a ball making these commercials.
Oh, he did. And what happened, you know, of course, they're all hysterical. They're very, very funny and very, very well done. As it turned out, the producer and creator of the commercials was Bill Idelot. Mm-hmm. And he actually was from Marblehead. At the time they were doing the commercials, and actually I grew up in Marblehead, so in Marblehead, Mass. And so Pat gave me his contact information, and I contacted him, and he was very enthusiastic. I asked him specifically if he could give me the copies of the commercials so that I could put them on Dave's Facebook page, because I had started his Facebook page. It's called Dave Maynard Dash the Dave Maynard Spin. And so far, I have six more to go, so please keep checking out that Facebook page if you have access.
Excellent.
And, yeah, I have three already up there. And one is with Marvelous Marvin Hagler and with the Outtakes. Mm-hmm. And one is with Robert Parrish, and one is with Doug Flutie. So those are the three up there on his Facebook page right now.
Dave Maynard almost hit a home run at Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even come that close, because the day I was supposed to do this little batting thing in 1980-something, it rained, and I never got my chance.
Too bad.
I'm still waiting for my chance. I'd settle for a foul ball. But he almost did a home run in one of those, and that would make your day, wouldn't it?
Oh, wow. For sure.
But he was an athletic guy, so he was
very athletic.
Very great shape over many, many years, no question. Let me go to another call, 617-254-1030 or 888-929-1030. We go to James in Arlington. James, welcome. You're on WBZ.
Yeah, hello, Jordan. This is James.
Yes.
Jordan, I want to tell you, and the young lady you're speaking with, I was on community auditions many, many, many years ago. I played Peanut Gunn on the guitar.
Okay.
And I think it was like four people. I came in number five.
Ouch.
You know, like, boom, 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 boom. But why I'm actually calling is that I had a paid TV show for many years, and Dave Maynard and Larry Wick used to come on my show many, many, many times. And they were both gentlemen and professional, and they were great to me. And when they were walking to our office, and at the time it was in Burlington, they would always be so nice to
yeah.
people and autograph things and stuff like that. But I do have a real question. I'm sorry, ma'am. What is your name?
My name is Susan.
Susan. Susan. You're Susan Frank, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How did Dave Maynard get along with Carl D'Souza? Because I know him personally, and I'm just curious if you give me an honest answer. I'd like to know.
What I don't know is the specific relationship, but what I can tell you is that David did his very best to get along with everyone. He really, really worked hard at that, and I think his career and the way he managed things and the way he managed conflicts, there he talks about a few in the book of things that happened. He was a person that just, you know, wanted to get the job done, do it as a professional, and he achieved that goal. So I can't imagine he had anything but good things to say about Carl D'Souza.
It's really a story in the book about his experiences actually outside of the radio station, or mm-hmm. in the studio with guests and so mm-hmm. forth.
Jordan, you've been on the radio 1,000 years.
Well, 1,010,
and,
actually.
Come on, you've been around.
Yeah.
He's a young man.
And yeah, right. And you hear all these stories about the Annie Innelmans and the WEI and blah, blah, blah. But bottom line is that I met Carl D'Souza many, many times, and I met Dave Maynard. But the best one was Larry Wick. When mm-hmm. he would come in, boy, he would bum, bum, bum. But Dave Maynard had that, panache. That's a word. Panache.
There you go. That's a great word.
That's
and
great word.
I think a lot of people look at the longevity of any of these people. And it really is. I think it says something about the radio station, too, and its mm-hmm. legacy. But thank you, James. I appreciate your call. We'll take a break and continue to the top. We're also going to play a tribute to Dave, an audio tribute that we'll wrap up the show with, will be appropriate. Susan Franks is here. The Dave Maynard Spin is the book. It's available now. Many fine bookstores. You can also go to the publisher, which is rostrumpublishing.com. That's R-O-S-S-T-R-U-M publishing.com. We'll come right back.
That entertains and inspires. It's the Jordan Rich Show, keeping you company all night long. Call 617-254-1030.
Well, this is fun talking about one of our colleagues, one of our legendary announcers and personalities, Dave Maynard, who I was happy to have the honor of sort of being the MC at the event a few years ago in 2009 when he was inducted into the Mass Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And he was very proud of that. He was very proud of all the accolades and a humble guy, too.
Yes.
And Susan, we only have a few minutes. We're going to play a wonderful piece that Michael Coleman produced when Dave's death was announced. And it's a homage to him. Takeaways from this. There are millions from your perspective, all the great stories. But as a listener, as a kid, 4 years old and up, what's your final thought on this, that it was obviously meant to be and you did it, and now what?
Well, we're letting people know the book's out there, obviously, and they can get a hold of it and purchase it through rostrumpublishing.com and other fine bookstores.
But, I mean, from you personally, it must be the coolest thing to think it just happened by accident.
I know, and it was like one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my life, and it truly was just a joy. And I know people say things like this, but it really was. I knew every week for 3 hours, guaranteed, I was going to have a time with Dave Maynard, and I was going to laugh.
What day of the week did you do this?
We did it on Wednesdays.
Oh, Wednesdays with Dave. I was thinking Tuesdays with Maury, Wednesdays with Dave. Well,
And we just had such a wonderful time, and I have to tell you, sometimes we didn't even work on the book. We just talked about current events, so the news, and laughed, and he made jokes, and it was really one of the most rewarding experiences of my entire life.
Well, this caps off a lot, because we have the plaque out front. Mm-hmm. We have, of course, so much in our audio vault, but this is a beautiful testament to a great life well lived, and also great stories. And I want to thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you
for
inviting
me. On your world tour.
Thank you very much.
Well, you had to come here.
Of course.
Come on, you had to come here.
I couldn't wait to come here.
But it was lovely meeting you. Thank you very much. That is Susan with a Z, S-U-Z-A-N, Franks. The Dave Maynard Spin is now out, and it's in hardcover. You go to Rostrum, R-O-S-S-T-R-U-M, publishing.com, and you can also find it at many local bookstores. It'll be a great, great gift for those of you who are radio fans. Coming up, we've got rock and roll, strangely enough, and a little rock and roll trivia with Chuck Burgess. And we have a lot more coming up as well. But right now, here's Dave Mills.
Where's everybody?
Right here, listening on the radio.
WBZ. Hello there. WBZ.
15 minutes after 12 noon, and welcome back to the Dave Leonard Show with eight of the top songs to go here in Boston. There is a song number 5 in Boston this week, and it's done by the Kingsmen. It's called Luai Luai. WBZ, AM and FM, the Group W stations, Westinghouse Broadcasting for Boston.
Dave Maynard, WBZ.
This is the love sound of New England and everything. WBZ, AM and FM, the Group W stations, Westinghouse Broadcasting for Boston. It's 9 o'clock.
To say a lot of you are leaving your driveways right now, and you're going to get into some kind of a traffic mess, and you don't want to have to make an appointment for a left turn, do you? All right, then. Listen to Joe Green in our WBZ flying machine, the big BZ copter. True, true, and Dave admitted. Well, Monday and Tuesday, our 22-meter maids are hats off to them. They have ticketed 3,237 cars. That's the ticket. Marshall believes the increase is due to the girls becoming familiar with the streets. He said it, I did.
7:45, you got Santos with a Wednesday sports.
WBZ.
Made it in the morning.
Sports.
Once again, Gil Santos.
Well, thank you very much, David, and good morning, everyone.
The number one country and western song was, according to Music City News, I'm going to hire a wino to decorate our home. I just couldn't believe that.
For Father's Day, which was very lovely, my wife swept out the driveway. Could a man ask for more? Yes, and I intend to.
Leading psychologist in New York City says there are 24 different types of women. Baloney to him. I bet he only knows 24.
Dave Maynard with music.
Our time passage.
I'm going on vacation. I'm going into semi-retirement. Is anything special going to happen? I said, no, I'm just going to do a show, and I'll go out quietly the way I came in. I just want to thank everybody who have been a part of this and all the people I've worked with over the years. I don't want to get too reminiscent, because there's nothing worse than say they gave him a going-away party, and he wouldn't go away. I just want to thank you all, and thank you for the champagne, and thank you for your kind thoughts. That's all.